Hey everyone, this is Jack here, and this is the fifth episode of the Off the Beaten Path podcast. So yeah, it's been a little while since my last podcast. This is the longest I've gone so far without making one, and it's been because I've had so many things going on, so many people that I've been meeting and seeing and things to do that I really haven't had a moment to spare. It's been a really good week, since I left Guarulhos. I think it was the last podcast I did. Had to say bye to Bruno, and that was tough. It was sad to say goodbye to him, but we've been keeping in touch, sending some pictures back and forth, saying hi, so I hope we can keep in touch too. Keep staying in touch, that is. But yeah, I took a night bus from Guarulhos, I guess not, from Sao Paulo down to Florianopolis, which was about an 8-hour bus ride, and it was all right. You know, I paid a little extra to get the reclining seat, the one that sort of lays back, but you're still not 180 degrees, so your back is kind of at an angle, and I didn't get the best sleep, certainly not the best for my back, but it was all right. Got a decent amount of sleep. And then arrived in Florianopolis and met my Airbnb host, and he's a really nice guy. We connected. We didn't end up spending that much time together, as I'll talk about in a minute, but man, he was super friendly, and we hung out a good bit that first couple hours that I was there. And you know, it turns out he's a traveler too. He gave me some tips on some places to go in Southeast Asia. And yeah, that first day in Florianopolis, I just sort of wandered around. I was going to go with him up. It was actually a bit of an adventure on that first day. I was going to go with my Airbnb host, catch a ride with him up to the north side of Florianopolis, which is this beautiful island, tons of beaches, and just a really, it's different than the big cities of Rio and Sao Paulo, in that you do have a city there, but it's much more laid back, maybe 500,000 people as opposed to 8 million or 12 million or something. So it's this small little city, and then connected to that is this large island with all these little beach towns scattered throughout. So I was going to go up to the north side of the island with my Airbnb host, and things sort of fell through on that. He didn't need to go up there after all, so I decided to go my own way and try and get out to the east side of the island, which is, it's only like a 30-minute car ride. But I was like, okay, first thing is I'll try the bus. And I got on the bus and got confused and got on the wrong bus, and it was going the right direction for a while, and then it stopped going the right direction and turned around. So I got off the bus, and then I tried to get an Uber, which was pretty crazy, because the Uber driver didn't speak any English, as happens sometimes. And he drove past me, and then I was trying to communicate using Google Translate to, like, he was messaging me in Portuguese, and I was translating his messages and responding in Portuguese, and then get in the car, and he asked me where I'm going, what I'm trying to do, all of this stuff in Portuguese, and we just had a real hard time communicating. So he, like, you know, this is all in Uber. The destination was there, but he just really wanted to talk with me. So he pulled over a couple times and used Google Translate and took me out there. It was a wild ride. Once he realized I was a tourist, he was like trying to sell me on a full island tour that he could give me the next day, and trying to get me to book it with them. And I was just like, no, I don't know what I'm doing the next day. Sorry. So it ended up taking, like, I wanted to be at the beach at, like, I don't know, 12:30 or 1. I ended up getting there till like 4:30 or something crazy with all of these hijinks. Yeah, I got out to the beach, and it was pretty chill. Had some amazing little fried balls with shrimp inside of them, and another one with crab. They were really good. I don't recall their names, unfortunately. And yeah, it was really nice. And then I stopped by a little brewery as well, just sort of going my way, wandering around these little beach towns. I managed to catch a bus part of the way back, and wandered around at a different beach town, just found a brewery. The people there were really friendly, and tried a couple good beers. It was like a microbrewery, like you'd see in the States. They're not that common here, so it was kind of cool to find one. They had a nice IPA and a good, like, German wheat beer. It was all over the place. Yeah, so then after that, I went to a couch surfing meetup event. So I wasn't doing couch surfing in Florianopolis, but these couch surfing meetup events are just anyone who's traveling can come around. And I went over to a bar that was, people were just hanging out, and met a ton of people that I ended up spending the rest of my time with there. Incredible people. Hanada and her roommate Diana, and then also an Indian guy who's been living in Brazil for a couple years named Manny. The three of us just hung out for, I don't know, every day for the rest of my time there. So this is what I was saying about my Airbnb host. He wanted to hang out, but we had made all these plans doing different things. So I didn't end up getting to hang out with my Airbnb host very much. But yeah, that first night, whenever we all met, we sat around and had beers for a while and just talked. And, you know, it just really connected over lots of different things. Hanada has been learning English for just a year, and her English is incredible. So we were just chatting and talking about languages. She's also an engineer, so we're talking about nerdy stuff too. And then we went out to all go dancing together, which was amazing. You know, had a couple drinks and danced for a little while, and then just ended up staying up really late, hanging out and chatting and doing all sorts of stuff. Yeah, and then the next day, we got back together and we did some cooking together. We made these things called pastels. I have a couple pictures on Instagram. It's basically these giant pockets. The dough's a bit like ravioli dough, but you deep fry it. And so you make these giant raviolis that you fill with whatever. We filled them with sausage, like German sausage, and cheese. And they were ridiculous. So good. And I made some veggies to go with it, too. I just cooked some veggies, and we ended up like stuffing the veggies back into the pastels afterwards. After, you know, you take a couple bites and stuff some veggies inside, and like, oh, these would have been really good to cook the veggies and then stuff them inside the pastels. So they may do that next time. It's very uncommon just to like saute vegetables, I think. I mean, they were like, oh, that's an interesting way to cook vegetables. So yeah, that was interesting. We went on a hike together to this, it was a nearby little hike, and we took an Uber over there and kind of walked up this stream to this waterfall where you could swim in a little pool there. None of us brought our bathing suits, unfortunately, or else we would have swam, but we ended up hiking further up the creek and got kind of harrowing there for a little while, but it's amazing, really good time that day. And then, the last day I was there, Hanada and her roommate started hosting some two people from Spain, España. So that was really cool, too, because they, I'm getting ready to learn Spanish and use it for the next few months. So it was really cool to hear Spanish, particularly with their amazing España accents. So we were chatting a bit in Spanish and in Portuguese, and man, the language situation was all over the place. There's, sometimes the conversation would just switch to Portuguese or Portuñol, which is this, you know, interesting way that Portuguese and Spanish people have to communicate because the languages are similar but not quite the same. So they were in this language, and I'm like trying to keep up. You know, I'm learning a little Portuguese. I learned more Portuguese in the past few days that I was in Florianopolis than I learned way before. Just so much inundated with Portuguese that I really picked up a few more things. That next night, the Spanish guys were there. Manny and I, the Indian guy, and I cooked dinner together. We made some, I wanted to do like a southern fish fry. Picked up some fish. And Manny was like, oh, what if we added some Indian spices to this? And so we did that and then put it in this rich sort of tomato-y sauce. And on the side of that, I made a spinach and arugula salad with, like, goat cheese, because no one had ever had goat cheese there before. No one from Florianopolis, that is. And I'm like, oh, you got to try this. So I had arugula, spinach, goat cheese, walnuts, cranberries. And then I made like a little dressing from honey and mustard and vinegar and oil. And so it was such a fusion-y meal with the Indian stuff. And had some like some rice as well. So it was a really good meal. I thought we had made too much. We got 1.2 kilos of fish, and it was gone. It was just completely eaten. So that was really fun. And I love cooking, so it's really cool to share that with other people with different backgrounds and cultures and just learn things and teach things. It was really fun. I just enjoyed raiding Renata's kitchen and just like seeing all the different spices and all the stuff that's in there. So that was really great. And then that next day, we had a really busy day, spent the whole day doing things. First thing we did is we went up to the top of a favela area where there's a really good lookout over the whole city, all of Florianopolis, which was amazing. So cool. It's 500,000 people, which is small compared to the other cities I've been to, but it's still a very impressive view of all the city and the water and the island. It was really nice. And then from there, we took an Uber all the way down to the south of the island, and we did a pretty intense hike. I don't recall the name. I should have looked that up beforehand. But it was the hike was maybe, it was in two portions. The first portion, we were hiking to a beach, and from the place that Uber dropped us off to the beach was maybe 5 or 6 kilometers, something like that, so right at 3 miles, and some pretty good elevation gain. You kind of go up a hill and then back down a hill to a beach, and it's this private beach. This got a little lake next to it, Lagoa, in Portuguese, Lagoa, and this really scenic beach and with huge waves and the lake nearby. It was awesome. And, you know, we had sandwiches on the beach that we had, you know, brought all the stuff to make there, and that was really nice, just hanging out on the beach there for a little while. I did swim a little bit, but it was so cold. Somehow though, I'm like getting more resistant to cold water, but this was just next level. My feet, just standing in it, my feet were like starting to hurt from the cold, just the cold sinking in. I'm just too cold. We chilled on the beach for a little while, and then we did the second portion of the hike, which is up this mountain that's on the side of the, kind of on the right side of the beach. We hiked up to the top of that, which was it was a 30-minute hike up, so maybe, I don't know, maybe a mile, but it was, or, you know, a kilometer and a half, but it was steep. I mean, really steep. At points, you had to, like, scramble up rocks, and you're using your hands and your feet to help climb up the rocks. And it started raining a little bit as well. I'm like, oh man, if this really starts raining, it could get very slippery, because it was very like dirt, so that would have turned to mud. But luckily the rain held out for us, friendly rain as we called it. And yeah, I went to the top, had some amazing scenic views, took some really great pictures. There's these like at the very top of this mountain, there's these like overhanging rocks that you can like do some cool pictures off of. So I did a couple of those, and then worked our way back down, and didn't hang out on the beach because it was nearly time for it to get dark. So we had to hike back. So did the scramble down the mountain, which was maybe even harder because it was so steep. And then did the 6 kilometers back. So it was a lot of hiking. And then, yeah, it was, did all that hiking, and then ended up staying up until like 2 a.m., sleeping for 2 hours, and then catching a flight to my next destination, Iguazu Falls, which is where I'm at right now. And Iguazu Falls is, well, before I say that, like, my body was so sore after that hike the next day and not getting much sleep and then taking the flight, that the first thing I did when I got to Iguazu Falls was look up places to get a massage. So I didn't even do very much at all the first day I was in the Brazil side of Iguazu Falls. I just hung out, got a little food, got a massage, and chilled for a little bit, tried to catch up on my sleep. But yeah, I was feeling kind of depressed for the first time in a while for this trip. Just sort of sad to be leaving Florianopolis and all these places. You know, you make these amazing connections with people, and then you just got to go. Just got to keep going on a trip like this. It's hard. It's really challenging. So yeah, I had a few hours of just sort of moping around, and I'm sure the lack of sleep didn't help my emotional mental state, but sort of bounce back. That first day, yeah, I just chilled, got some good sleep, woke up the next morning and went to the Brazil side of the Gazi Falls. And Gazi Falls is a massive complex of waterfalls. I think it's 200 waterfalls, and some of them are just insane size. I've never seen anything like this before. But you couldn't tell that, actually, from the Brazil side. So there's kind of the Gazi Falls is at the border of Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina. And there's you can view the falls both from the Brazil side and the Argentinian side. And the Brazil side was a bit underwhelming, I got to say. You know, I went there. It's also raining, and there's only like one trail to view the falls and a couple viewpoints at the end of the trail. And it was very crowded, lots of people there, and it cost about $20 to get in. And I was there for a couple hours, and it was cool, but the Argentinian side, which I went to yesterday, sort of blew that away. But yeah, after I went to the Brazilian side of the falls, I did go to a cool place called Parque de los Aves, which is like a bird sanctuary, which has 200 different types of birds. That was really, really cool. There was birds, anacondas, boa constrictors. A turtle walked across my path at one point. Flamingos, dozens of parrots in this like room that you could walk in, and the parrots would be like flying past your head. It was cool, really cool. Hanada recommended that to me, and I was very glad to have the inside scoop because I don't think I would have realized that was there otherwise. Yeah, and then from there I went up to a Buddhist temple that's surprisingly here at Iguazu Falls, this small little town. Check that out for a little bit. Yeah, and then it ended up meeting some people in my hostel, which happens. The beauty of hostel, met an Irish person, someone else from New Zealand, and then a few Germans, and we all went out and had some drinks together and had dinner. So yeah, that was cool to have a crowd to hang out with. And the next day, that same group of various English accents we all went to the Argentinian side of the park together. That's what we did yesterday. And it was great. Oh my gosh, that was, you know, if anyone ever comes here, this is one of the coolest natural things I've ever seen in my life on the Argentinian side. Much more of a trail system to let you see all of these 200 waterfalls, and you can really, really get close to some of the big ones. I'll try and post some pictures and videos, but those don't even do it justice. It's just so much power, and just to sit there, you're 100 feet, maybe. I think that it's one person said 22 stories, so more than that, 22 story building. Away from where the falls are crashing, and you're kind of standing up above it on this platform, and the mist is just spraying up that hard. You're just getting covered in little droplets of water from all the power of these falls. So wide, and there's so many of them. Like, I thought it was just one big waterfall, but no, there are multiple really big falls. And it's crazy how much power it is. So, yeah, wandered all around the parks with many friends that I'd made from my hostel, and we got some food together and, you know, just explored the park together. There was some wildlife, too. Saw, like, a little group of monkeys. They were all sort of bouncing about and being cute. And saw a couple iguanas and a alligator-looking thing and I can't remember what they're called. They kind of look like raccoons as well. All sorts of interesting animals to see at this park. Oh, I saw a toucan in the wild. That was cool too. So yeah, the Argentinian side just blew me away. The number of trails, there was one of the trails had like hundreds, maybe thousands of butterflies on it. And much better weather. I don't think I mentioned the Brazil side. It happened to rain a ton while I was there. Luckily, I brought my raincoat and umbrella, and I was ready for it. But the Argentinian side didn't get any rain, even though it was earlier in the week. It said it was supposed to rain even harder. It held out for us, so I had good weather and just great views of the falls, and yeah, good company, chatting with everybody all day. And I had to say bye to them because I got dropped off on the Argentinian side of the falls at a different hostel, and they went back to the hostel in Brazil. So, again, you know, you make these friends and you have to say goodbye to them. So that's one of the tough parts about traveling like this, is making these connections and then keep going. But over the course of this conversation, I just got a message from someone I stayed with in Rio, you know, so I'm keeping in touch with these people, but it's really strange to have all these connections and then just say bye, bye, bye. So yeah, that's where I'm at today. I'm still staying at the hostel on the Argentinian side of Iguazu Falls. Here is just a small little town. The Brazilian side is a kind of a bigger city, but this is a small little town, and just spent the morning sort of walking around and picking up a few groceries because I'm about to get on a bus in a few hours. a bus that I'll be on for 22 hours over to Cordoba, Argentina. And I'm doing some more couch surfing there. I sent a message to someone who's a student there and studying physics, so I think we're going to nerd out a little bit. And, you know, he's going to show me around the city, so that should be really fun. But yeah, nice chill day today, which is what I needed because I've just been going like crazy. And yeah, long bus ride ahead of me, but I think it should be fun. I downloaded a bunch of episodes. I'm trying really hard to learn Spanish. That's the other thing I'm doing today. I've been doing Duolingo, chatted with a guy in my room from Germany. I met so many Germans who is pretty fluent in Spanish, and we were talking about conjugating in the conjunctive tense and stuff that's a little more my level as well. Just his advice to learn irregular verbs because those are the ones you end up using the most. So yeah, I'm gonna really try hard to learn Spanish. I downloaded a bunch of a couple Spanish series on Netflix. I'm gonna watch those when I'm on the bus, and maybe do a little Duolingo, and you know, just do all I can. I actually think, you know, when I'm in Cordoba, I'm going to do some Spanish tutoring as well. I'll need to look into that. So hopefully, you know, within these next 2 months, I can get somewhat conversational in Spanish. That would be really cool. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I'll keep you updated. So yeah, with that, I think I'll end this podcast, sign off, and see you guys in the next one. See ya.